If you want to open up your Bibles or turn them on, we're going to be looking at Romans 7 today. Romans 7. But before we begin, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just want to first and foremost give you all the praise, give you all the glory of what you've been doing, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the way you've been ministering to people, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Lord, would you also heal those people which you didn't pray for, who weren't able to be here. We're in the hospitals, we're in the homes, Lord, that our friends and relatives who are sick, Lord, we pray over them. And God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, would they be healed? Would you bring strength back to their bodies? Would you take away all sickness and diseases, any attacks from the enemy? Lord, we break in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, we know, Lord, that we just have to speak, we just have to ask. We don't even have to be in the same place, and you can work a miracle at any place, at any time, anywhere. So God, we pray, Lord, would you bring complete healing to our friends and to our families, members, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And God, we pray, Lord, would you continue to minister and speak into our hearts. And God, I pray, Lord, as always, anything that's of me might be blown away in the wind, forgotten about, but Lord, everything that's of you, may it resound in our hearts. Would it challenge us to be and transform us to be more like you? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. This morning, I don't know about you, but have you ever wondered why you do some actions that you do? Yeah. Is it just me? You're thinking, why on earth did I do that? Sometimes it's even, I know New Year's is, well, it's 2025, New Year's is coming up, but the new year's, everyone was expecting 2024. This year's going to be a year of change. There's going to be significant change. And so we plan different things. I think, okay, go do this, go, this is going to happen. And then by the time Easter comes around, we've totally forgotten what we wanted to change, or what we wanted to change has changed and changed again. And sometimes we've even forgotten about what it's changed from, and then we just end up, but some people seem to be running with it. But for the majority, if you like most people, what you're expecting, what you're hoping to change hasn't changed. It's forgotten about, or we've tried and we just give up and fail. And thinking, why does that happen? Have you ever wondered that? And sometimes you're watching something on TV and you get riled up and you get a bit angry, or someone said something and as the expression says, all the peacock feathers goes up, and you start going, yeah, and you start getting a bit on the boisterous side, start being a bit defensive when you don't need to be defensive, but something inside you kicks in and you're thinking, why am I like that? Is anyone else like that? Yeah. Thank goodness I'm normal. Sometimes you wonder, is it just me, or is it everyone else, people like that? But one of the things that I love about Paul is that if you ever need to feel good about yourself, if you ever need to think that I am normal, Paul is a fantastic guy to go to. And the reason being, because no matter how much you read the New Testament of how God has used him, impacted him, and worked through him, brought people up from the dead, brought salvations, turned his life around, he encountered God in such an unbelievable way that I think we'd all like that in some ways, some respects. But God transforms his life and uses it in such a magnificent way. You're thinking, oh, I'd just like to be like that. And then you get to a verse, as we're going to get, in Romans 7, from verse 15 to 19. It says, "For I do not understand my own actions." That brings a bit of encouragement. If someone of Paul's caliber, shall we say, I know we shouldn't put people up on pedestals and lift people up, but if you're thinking, if I could just be like Paul or something like that, but if Paul himself turns around and says, I do not understand my own actions, I think there's hope for me yet. And there's hope for all of us. For he says, there's a lot of do's in this. Okay, you ready? As a dyslexia person, go read this, okay? You ready for a laugh? Okay, we'll see how we get on. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Does everyone else have that issue? It's that wrestle. And when we talk about, here, when it says about the flesh in the body, it's not all bad. We need flesh, obviously, to hold our organs in, to move around. It's not all bad. But what it means by the flesh is that it's that flesh that is opposite to the Spirit of God. The flesh that is opposite to God's will. It's those desires that don't line up with his word, that don't line up what he wants with us. And so when Paul says the kind of the flesh, it is everything, mind, body, soul, that everything that's opposite to God, that's saying, God's saying, I want you to go this way, and we have those thoughts or desires which think, actually, we want to go this way, which we all have. I know some of you got really nice halos, but we just have to polish it and just put it to one side a bit, okay? We all have slips. Some people get a bit, it might be a little bit uncomfortable this morning. It's okay. None of us are perfect, but God's grace is bigger. Okay? So I know some of you have to, you know, you're sitting next to someone, you have to act the part, but we're all not perfect. Okay? But it's only by God's grace. And some stuff that we think, oh, I want to do it, but my desires go in this way. And sometimes we have this wrestle and this battle, and this is what Paul is talking about here. And I don't know, how would you describe yourself? You don't have to shout. I'm not asking you. Don't shout it aloud. That's between you. How do you describe yourself? Paul, in verse 24, says this: "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Paul calls himself, "I'm a wretched man." I don't know, that's a strong word, isn't it? And it's probably true. And we can probably say that about ourselves by some of the things that we've said, some of the things that we've done in the past, that we've meant, that some of it that actually we've said on purpose. And if we're really honest with ourselves, even though we shouldn't have been happy we said those things, someone just rolled us up really bad and we just let them have it and we felt good about it, and then we've come to repentance afterwards. But in the moment, you're just like, I just needed to get off my chest. But and we speak stuff out and we look back and think, that was me. I know that's none of you lot, that's, it's just me. I know it's just me. I can see some people getting a bit, it's like our lives have all changed. What you see now is still a work in progress. Ask my wife. All work in progress. Ask my mum and dad. I'm still a work in progress. Ask my friends. Isn't that right, Mark? He's keeping quiet. Don't bring me into this. I'll pay you later. But you ask the question, who will deliver me from this body of death? I don't know about you, but as Christians, we know that we're supposed to be good. We're supposed to be kind. We're supposed to be loving and generous, and the list goes, I don't mean to be blasé about it, but almost like the list goes on. But like most people, when we're faced with something and we're faced with change, for myself personally, I'm just like, it's almost like a bull is running towards you. You just grab it with both grab both horns with your hands and you wrestle it to the ground. You just go at it full steam ahead and you wrestle it and think, I'm going to do this. You just run faster. You can say, I'm going to go faster. I'm going to do this and this. And so you try, I'm going to be better at this. I'm going to be dead better at that. And we try, don't we? We try. And so we try to keep our New Year's resolutions. We try not to, at lunchtime when everyone else is going off to Nan's or any other establishments around the area that, you know, they're serving anything and you've got your packed lunch there and you're thinking, I should just eat this, but you get tempted to go off out, or someone brings donuts into the office, or you're walking down the aisle in the supermarket and they always have the discounted sweets and your chocolate just at eye level. I can see it now. Those whispers, three for the price of two. Makes me mouth-drawing. Okay, come back. All that succulent chicken with seasoned fries, bit of ketchup. Or if you're a burger person, the double Mac, melted cheese. And we can sit here, can't we? Or the noodles with rice and duck chow mein. I'm getting hungry. what about you? There's things that we just think, oh, and we all have things that are perhaps just a weak spot. And we try and put off and say, I'm not gonna do it. And we have a bad day. Or after a while of trying so much, when we try, it's a bit like any muscle. When you run, for example, leg muscles, when you run, after a little while, your legs are going to start hurting and you're going to stop. You need a breather. Your legs are going. It's the same thing with trying. After a while, we see some success, but because we haven't put the things in place and because it's just us doing it, we see some success and we think, okay, keep going. And then life happens and we can't live at that pace. So what happens? You see a bit of success and then you start to get fatigued. And then after fatigued, we all start to naturally fail. We all start to naturally, do you know what? I just can't keep up with it. And some of the things that we're doing so well in, we've just slipped back into the old routine, and before even unconsciously, it's almost just like that, isn't it, sometimes? And that wrestle backwards and forwards because we try to work. And sometimes we can almost do this with God as well. And you see this with the Pharisees and the Sadducees where they're trying to get close to God and it's all just, if I do this, if I do that, if I just... You know, if you've noticed the language, it's if I just try harder, if I just try harder to read my Bible, if I just try harder to pray a bit more, if I just try, and it's almost like the whole emphasis is on you and doing, and if I just do this and do that, things will get worked out. But after a while, things might start to go well, but after a while, the heart gets hardened. Tired, fatigued, weary. No one else is doing it as good as I am. Pride can kick in. Jealousy can kick in. The elitism can kick in. Because it's all about us trying. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. And how many times, again, do we find ourselves, even with our Christian walk, just going up and down a little bit, up and down, just because it's almost like we try to go at it full steam ahead. I'm just going to run at it. And I'm going to try. There's an experiment that was done, and all of you would know this experiment. You see it all the time in social media and videos, and where this guy called Walter, Mischel, he's called the Marshmallow Man, and he invented the test where they'll get a table, they'll put a marshmallow on it into this room, and then they'll bring perhaps a five-year-old and sit them on a chair. And if the child could wait 15, 20 minutes without touching, without eating the marshmallow, they got two marshmallows at the end. But if they ate the marshmallow within those 15 minutes, then they didn't get two. We've all seen it, haven't we? We've all seen it on social media. We still sometimes do that, will it? And it's almost like we're still almost the same, isn't it? You're going back to the donuts in the office when someone brings them in. You're just like, what, pastor? I don't need them. Second time, you get a little bit closer. No, I don't need them. Third time you go past just to get a drink, you know, just to check them out, make sure they're still there. What flavours have they got? Fourth time, you might go back, give it a little sniff. Oh, that smells good. Strawberry. Chocolate sprinkles. And you walk off. Then, we'll give you a little bit of a grace, about an hour, if you're like me. You might come back and go, I won't have a whole one. And you get a knife and you cut it in half and we celebrate that we've only eaten half. And you've got half a donut. And he's just like, yes, I've eaten half a donut. And then you go away celebrating that you've eaten half a donut, only to then go back half hour later and eat the other half. But we put half hour in between the donuts, so it doesn't count, does it? No, it doesn't count. And so, but we do these things. And we do these things. And the New York Times did a report and it said, famously, preschoolers who waited longest for the marshmallow went on to have higher SAT scores than those who couldn't wait in later years. They were thinner. They were thinner, earned more advantage degrees, used less cocaine, that's a good thing, and coped better with stress. As these first marshmallow kids are now entering their 50s, he's then going on to investigate whether they earn a higher because of the delayed gratification and the bringing in that self-control. A lot of scientists that if you can delay, because the majority of us, and this is where the enemy comes in, doesn't it? The enemy comes in, and if you noticed, before you've actually failed, you start to justify it in your head. And the voice going, it's okay, everyone else is doing it. It's fine. You don't need to worry. Just do it, it's fine. And the voice is there, and you almost like justify it. And so even before you do it, in your head, you've decided to do what you're going to do. Whether to buy it, to click on it, to watch it, to eat it, smoke it, whatever it may be, even in your head, you've decided to do it. But have you noticed, as soon as you do it, that voice that says, go on, it's not going to hurt, it's okay, no one will ever know, I promise, it's just our secret, you can burn the bank card statement later, and all these things, and he's just like, yeah, the moment you've done it, it turns around and goes, you did what? You did what? Call yourself a Christian. Call yourself good. Call yourself... And all these things, this quiet, small voice that was in the back of your head, just saying these small things, go and just do it, that turns into this loud, big megaphone shouting, you did that? I can't believe you'd do that. No one else has done that. You've done that. God can't love you for that. And what he does is, the enemy attacks what you've done and places it as your identity. And so we walk around and we live with the labels of, I'm just a waste of space. I'm just useless, like my parents told me. I'll never achieve anything. I'm worthless. And there's loads of other names that we can place on it, and we can do it, and we called ourselves, and some of us are perhaps still calling it ourselves, and the shame factor of that as well. I wonder how many people here, how long you've had shame, and you've lived under, you've made one mistake, and the enemy has jumped on it, and the shame levels, it might have been even something really small, but the shame levels have skyrocketed. And even though it's insignificant to other people, for you, the shame is up there because people know. And you lived under a cloud of shame. There's that mindset, isn't we, when those things happen, is that we go back to, how do I change my identity? I'm going to try harder. I was greedy, but I'm just going to go back to trying harder. I'm just going to keep trying. And we keep going back to trying, but the problem is we keep missing out someone. We keep missing out someone who's can support us, who gets us through, someone who knows that we can't do it and that we need help. Someone who is gracious and merciful and loving, but instead of allowing them, we just try and focus on, I'm just going to try my hardest. That sound familiar? And Paul says this. And he says, and Paul answered the question in verse 25. So Romans 7, 24, 25, he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And 25, he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, for so long, we try to do stuff by ourselves. And that old legalism mindset of just keep trying, just try to earn it, just try to do it, just doesn't work. It can't work. We know this time and time and time again. We're taught this time and time again, that it's only by grace you have been saved, only by Jesus coming and dying on the cross, by taking all our sin, all our shame, all our guilt, and bearing it into the grave and coming back to life, in order that when we put our belief in him, that he takes away our guilt, our shame. He takes away the wrath of God, which is there, which some people think, oh, there's no, the wrath of God is there, and he puts it all on Jesus. The wrath that God should have against me and to you, that's not there anymore. That's because Jesus took the wrath, took the justice that I should have got, places it on Jesus. Jesus dies and comes back to life and goes, James, if you just believe in me, I'll give you eternal life. It's nothing that I can do. I can't try to earn it. I can't win it over. It's not like a lucky dip scratch card. It's none of this stuff. It's done through Jesus being obedient to his Father, by coming, dying on the cross to set you free. And salvation isn't first and foremost for us. First, salvation, what does the Bible say? Salvation belongs to the Lord. He does it off his own choice. He chooses to do it. First and foremost, for his benefit, because he wants to restore you to him and him to us. But also, it's second benefit, it's for that we receive that. And because he loves us and he cares for us, because he's a good God. And he wants to partner with you, and he sends his Holy Spirit to come and to dwell in us and amongst us. So if you believe in Jesus this morning, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus and said, Jesus, I know that you died on the cross for me, that you've taken all my sin, all my shame, all my guilt. I have sinned against you. I ask for forgiveness. God, Jesus, forgives you instantly. And instantly, his Spirit comes and dwells within you. He doesn't wait a couple of weeks to see if you pass the test. Are you good enough? Instantly, as soon as you ask for forgiveness, the Holy Spirit comes in. Seals you, bang, you're mine. Which is why when we read Romans 8, just go read the first, how are we doing for time? Just go read the first 11 verses. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Did you hear that? Pause. Some of you are still thinking about it. Let that sink in. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He will give you life. He will give you life. Because we know if we go to Galatians chapter 5, if you read verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, let's go from 16 down to, I'm just looking at, let's just go from 16 down to 25. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Does it say, don't run, don't strive? It says, walk, step by step. Be intentional with your walking with Jesus. Be intentional, step by step. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice this. The fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit works in our lives, brings joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Walk by the Spirit. Walk step by step. So before we act, before we, when we're in a heated argument, before we want to let loose and let rip on and have a way, instead of speaking straight away and saying, God, what do you want to speak into this situation? God, what do you think? God, what do you want me to do in my job? God, how should I react to my family member? What do I do with that email? God, I'm struggling with my health. Can you help me? What do you think? What do I need to do? Where do you want me to go? And there's that mindset that's changed from having a striving, I'm just going to try my hardest to bringing your identity back to God. So it's not, I'm going to try my hardest to read my Bible. Out of a striving, it's like, because I belong to God, I want to know what he says. Because I know he hears prayers and he wants to speak to me, I'm going to pray more because I want to hear his voice. And it's just a subtle mindset and it's a subtle change. Do you get that? And it changes, it takes the burden off of the striving of, I must read 10 chapters a day, I must do this, I must do that, I must do that too. That striving, I'm trying as hard as I can to, I'm going to go on a journey step by step with God. And we're not going to get it right first time. And we're not going to strive, but we're going to take it step by step and we're going to walk intentionally. But in Galatians, it's got a list here of loads of different things, but there's other things that we can put on there. Are our finances out of control? Is our arrogance out of control? Is our hate out of control? Is our jealousy? Are there elements of our character that get out of control sometimes? And you feel that the anger can't rise up? I know for me, I absolutely hate it when I'm talking, I'm trying to say to someone, and someone cuts straight across it. And I was like, and so something burns up, especially because with my my dyslexia and communication and trying to talk sometimes, it's hard to get what's in here out. It sounds fine up here, but out here it's just like, ugh. And it's just like, how did it go from intellectual to like mixed soup or something? I don't know, spaghetti all spilled out. And sometimes when you're starting to try and communicate and then you do it and then you're just about to, and someone cuts and crosses, like, there's that, I was just like, okay, calm down. It's okay, Grace. And we all have things, don't we, that sometimes what other things do or we react in certain ways as a consequence of perhaps how we've been brought up or neglect or whatever things. And we perhaps we didn't get things when we were kids because there's nothing wrong with our parents' fault, or perhaps we can't, depending on the background, it wasn't a rich family or wealthy family. So some of the things that we were deprived from at a young age, now we have jobs. Sometimes you then go overboard because what you didn't have beforehand, and it's that subtle counteraction, and then sometimes you go too far. Sometimes we think, do you know what, in school I always got looked down on, but now I'm out of school, now I'm getting to college, or now I'm going to jobs, I'm not going to let anyone look down on me, I'm not going to let anyone speak down to me. And you have all these different things that we have in our minds because the enemy plays on them, and we feel like we have to be up here, and so we have stuff that's inside of us that rolls up. And what things are actually, we've been trying to keep things down, but actually we just need to say, I can't do it. I can't do it. For some of you, it might be you drive along and someone cuts you up, and the rage comes up and builds up, and the window goes down. You might stick your head out the window. It's like, before you do that, it's like, we're taking that step of God. I got cut up. I want to rip their head off. I want to put them 6 feet under, or you know, all these things. I know some of you don't say those sort of things, but I know spiritual halos. But all the things that we don't necessarily say, but we might say, all those things, that thoughts that come to your mind, and you think like, and saying, God, actually, I'm bringing that under control. God, I am angry, I'm upset. I know I want to do that, but God, can you help me? Can you transform me? And when you pray prayers like that, of God, I messed up. God, can you help me? God, can you transform me? Can you give me the ability to do this? Can you control my anger? Can you give me more patience? Can you give me more love? Can I be more gentle? Can I be less rude? Can I be less arrogant? Can I be secure in my giftings? So the envy that I have, the jealousy that I have, God, can you just quieten that down? Because it's okay with how you've made me. It's bringing everything back into alignment with what does God say about you? How does God want to change you and transform you? And he wants to change you and transform you into likeness of his son, Jesus. And he will listen to those prayers. It might take a journey. It might take time. You might start it today, and by this time next year, you might be not fully conquered it, but you might be further than what you are now. But the fact that you've taken that step, and isn't that right? How many times do we hear people say, I'm just going to take a step of faith, I'm going to take a step of faith and step of faith, and you're just thinking, just take a step, because they never take a step. And they're like, I'm going to take a step of faith, I'm going to take a leap of faith, and you're just like, go on then. And they don't change because they haven't brought those things under perhaps the light of God, or they haven't had the courage to take that step. But can I just encourage all of us this morning, even if it's just one small step, take a step. Realize that God is with you. Take a deep breath. Take another step. And when the enemy comes and thinks and says, do you think this is going to last? It won't last. Give it till Christmas. You'll be making another New Year's resolution at Christmas. And if you keep saying, keep bringing those thoughts, underlining with Jesus, saying, no, go, enemy, devil, go to Jesus. I'm not believing that. I'm a child of God. I'm a conqueror through Jesus. God has made me righteous through his son, Jesus. I'm not a waste of space. I'm an heir. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I know I'm not valuable, but I'm valuable because God made me. And when you study the Bible and when you start praying those scriptures over yourself, say, God, thank you for making me your child. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you care for me. Thank you that you sustain me in your righteous right arms. Thank you that your gaze never goes away, that you see everything, every single prayer that I do pray, you hear. I might not always see the answer straight away, but I know that you hear my prayers. I know you're with me when I sleep. I know you're with me every single day when I get up. I know when you're with me when I'm driving down to work, I'm buzzing the horn. I know at every single moment that you're with me. I know what you're with me in the argument when you're saying, calm down, I'm not listening to you because I'm so angry that I, even though I hear your voice, I'm choosing not to listen to your voice because I'm really angry. And all those sort of stuff. Say, God, can you just help me? And as you take those steps, you'll find your character will change. Situations and circumstances will change. And it's in those moments, instead of I'm going to strive to get close to God, the closeness of God just comes naturally because you're constantly speaking to him. And you're constantly talking to him. And so we don't have to do what everyone seems to be doing at the moment, is rushing to the next conference, trying to get the next prophetic word from someone because perhaps we haven't heard the word, haven't learned to hear God's voice for ourselves. And actually when you start speaking to God and start gently, bit by bit, taking a step, you think God's spoken to you, write it down on a sheet of paper, pray about it. God, this is what you're saying. Yes, no, and if you made a mistake, it doesn't matter, move on. If you think he said something else, write that down on a sheet of paper. Write it down so you can physically see it. Don't just have it in your head. Write it down so you can see it. And you can test it against scripture. Does it go, is it with God's character? Is it with his will? And bit by bit, you'll start to realize, you look back and you start realizing when you've written things down, God spoke to me then. That builds up your faith. I heard from God then. God told me what to do. There's an answer to prayer. It builds up your faith. It builds up your gratitude, your thankfulness, because you start to develop and bringing things under the kingdom of God, bringing God's heavenly values in place of self and striving to try and be. I want you to know this morning, just like we started, you belong to God. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you belong to him. And he's never going to let you go. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, and if you are struggling and striving, you need to know this. At any point that you are ready, yes, Jesus, you can, at any point that you're ready, just watching outside, seeing tiles don't fall down, that where it's here, where it's in the bus stop, where it's doing your teeth, where it's having dinner, wherever you're the cinema, wherever you are, when you thought about it, and you decide, do you know what, Jesus, I believe that you died and that you rose again. I believe that I've sinned against you and that you sent your son Jesus to die to forgive me. I believe that and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? When you are ready to say that in your journey, and that might be the next step. That might be this morning, or it might be during the week. It might be speaking to one of your friends about it. But whenever you are ready, the moment you say, Jesus, will you forgive me? I want to be yours. I want to belong to you. He is there instantly. You are his. Know that you are forgiven. Know that all the shame, all the guilt goes. So no longer work from a place of shame and guilt. Yes, we might still have to deal with the consequences of the past, but God can bring restoration like we've been praying for. And as we submit things to God, instead of striving and failing and striving and failing and striving and failing, as we take a step at a time and saying, God, will you lead me? Will you be my light? Will you be my salvation? Would you guide my ways? You'll see your life transformed just as the same as my life and a lot of people's here. They've got testimonies here. He'll continue to transform all of our lives to be more like him.